Harley, what was the day like? Do you remember the day?
Well, John, in the morning, you know, bearing in mind it was the wet season over there, very humid, overcast, we were just going on a normal clearing patrol as such, and bearing in mind too that this was my first operation outside of the camp as well, I was a bit jittery.
How were the nerves?
Well, I was worried. Yeah. I was worried, and when we went down to get our ammunition for the day, I was saying to the other guys, I said, oh, how much do we take? You know, and they said, don't worry about it, just take the basic, because D Company have never fired a shot in anger since we've been here in 3 months. So I said, you sure? And I said, yeah, no, you don't want to carry all that. Then we got our supplies for, because we were only going out for 2 days, so we got our rations and that and packed our gear and started to head off. On the way out, just before we left the perimeter of the camp, I bumped into a couple of Albany guys that were also over there at the same time, and I just said to them, oh, I'll see you when I get back, you know, I'll have a beer. Anyway, that was never to be, but never mind.
Yeah. This had happened because the camp, Niue Dat, had been receiving mortar shells.
We'd been mortared on the night of the 16th, and B Company had been sent out on a recce patrol to find where the base plates and that were from the Viet Cong. And we just assumed, as everybody did, that it was just a small, you know, fighting over there, as you don't run into usually big battalions or whatever. You just, they're like a fragmented force. So we didn't expect any big numbers of enemy. And they went out, B Company didn't find the base plate. They went out on the 17th. They were coming back in on the 18th, and we met them halfway back, and then they continued on, and then that's when it's believed that the Viet Cong were following them back to the Australian Task Force camp at Niue Dat, and that's when they were going to launch their big assault on the Australian Task Force.
You were on the way out at that time.
We were on the way out, and we bumped into them, and they formed an ambush, and because I think they believed that we were in a lot bigger force than what we were. They didn't know that there was only 128 of us. Otherwise, they would have just walked through us. Yeah.
And how many of them?
Believed that there was 2,500 or more. When you saw them in the rubber plantation, I'd reckon there was 10,000, but that's only my imagination, running wild.
You were on your first patrol out.
Yes.
You'd bumped into what looked like 10,000 Viet Cong. What was going through your head? I can't imagine it.
Fear, John. Fear like something that you wouldn't... You'd never want to experience it again, but because when we saw how many of them, and mind you, we could see them as easy as, because we were only in a very young rubber plantation. There was no undergrowth, and the trees were only about 8 inches in diameter, and we're trying to hide behind them. And we could see them running around, and, you know, they were coming in waves through the rubber at us. You know, we never believed, well, I never ever thought that we'd get out of it. And we were very low on ammunition, and all was basically you can think about is, or I could anyway, you know, my family and things that had happened in Albany, and, you know, so it was a bit daunting.
You're in the middle of what could only be called a shit fight. You're running out of ammunition.
Yes.
Life must have seemed like it was going to end pretty soon.
Especially, you know, when you're down to your last couple of rounds of ammunition and, you know, they're coming through the rubber in waves at you, and they're blowing this bloody bugle, which has got a petrifying sound when you hear this bugle. It's like a charge. And we're very low on ammunition, and you're thinking the terrible things that they supposedly have done to people that they've captured and things like that. You know, just hoping that you're not taken alive. Mm-hmm. And yeah, all these horrible things go through your thoughts. Yeah.
You were so low on ammunition. How did you get more?
We had a monsoonal storm came through, and it started to rain very heavy, and extremely heavy. I've never seen rain like it in my life. And the noise of all the gunfire, and of course the Australian and New Zealand artillery were dropping artillery shells all around us, like we were in a circle. They would walk the artillery in on our position until it got too dangerous, and then they'd walk it back out again. And with all that noise, and then the Australian choppers, they actually hovered underneath the artillery fire on top of the rubber trees and dropped ammunition to us. And, you know, through all the noise that was going on, we didn't hear the choppers. Boxes boxes of ammunition started dropping.
Started falling from the sky.
Yeah, and we thought, oh, there is a God.
Not to take anything away from the guys that were there, but there are obviously other people involved in this, the chopper pilots. What was happening back at base, for instance? My sketchy history says that they were having a concert with Little Patty.
Well, back in the camp at Nui Dat, Cold Joy and Little Patty were there entertaining. And on our way, we weren't very far from the camp. The way we went out through a rubber plantation. We had to cross a creek. And we weren't very far away from the camp. When we stopped for lunch, we could hear Little Patty and Cold Joy and all the troops back, at the camp, whistling and yahooing. And when the firing and that started, of course, they got Little Patty and Cold Joy and they chuffed them out of the area. And all the guys had to go back to their camp. But then to bring out reinforcements for us, they brought them out in APC carriers because they had to go around because they couldn't cross this river. So they had to go around, which took them so long to get there. The fighting started about 3:30, maybe 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We didn't get reinforcements in until after dark that night, which was about 8 o'clock.
You were wounded, weren't you?
Yes.
I just can't imagine what it would feel like to be in a foreign country and shot under attack. I mean, at what point do you think, give up?
No. Never say die.
Yeah.
After we'd been resupplied with ammunition, I was shot fairly shortly after that. I was carried back by our RSM back to we were in a circle and all the injured and the headquarters were in the middle of the circle. And I was carried back to there. That's where the medicos were trying to work on us. I was sort of flitting in and out of consciousness and I heard them say, this bloke's not going to make it. And I'm thinking, yes, I am. Yes, I am. I've got this far. You can hear, I could hear, it was dark and, you sort of hear bits and pieces, but you could hear the noise and the firing and then you could hear the tanks coming, which was, the greatest relief I've ever, to hear an APC coming with reinforcements. We think, wow, we are out of here. Then I was choppered out. They had to clear an area in the rubber plantation to get the choppers in to medevac us out. So we were there until about midnight. I was on the first chopper out, which was great. And I went straight to the 36th Evac, which is the American hospital in Vung Tau. And that was, great relief.
What did it feel like when you hit those clean hospital sheets?
Oh, absolutely magnificent. Absolutely. And, I can still feel the cold air from the, because the choppers had no doors and that on them and they just put the stretchers in there and I can still feel the cold air from the flying into Vung Tau and the lights. And then they landed. They have a helipad right at the door of the hospital. So the helicopters landed there. There's four of us on the chopper and they wheeled us straight in to the operating theatre and I can still remember them just cutting all our clothes. They just cut them all off. They never undid anything. They just cut the lot. I don't remember much more for a couple of days, but yeah.
Wow. How old were you?
21.
21.
21, yeah.
Have you been back?
No, I can't, John. Sorry. I couldn't go back. My family are all for me going back, but no, I couldn't, no.
No.
It's one of those things I think, I'd rather just leave it. And my family want me to go, but I don't feel it. Emotionally, I don't think I could handle it. But anyway, that's me.
Yeah. And life on the farm's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy it. Make every post a winner. Every day's a bonus.
You've been closer to hell than I would have been for a while.
Too close for me.